Jesus Christ is the Son of God who will judge the world in righteousness. With great power, Paul testified to certain Athenian philosophers that God would judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17:31. The fact that he has risen from the dead confirms that his death has been received by God as effective in taking away the sin of the world. It also substantiates once and for all that everyone will face this Christ to receive of the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. That is, whatever men have done while they were in this world will come back upon them. If it's bad, it will result in the ultimate bad in that way. If it is good, it will bring them to the ultimate good when they stand at last before the judge of all the earth. Salvation is an economy that prepares men for that time. It provides forgiveness and remission so that the bad deeds can be blotted out of the book of divine remembrance. Such deeds being washed away by the blood of Christ are cast into the depth of the sea. To those in Christ Jesus, he solemnly swears within the framework of the new covenant, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17. Those who are convinced of the reality of the day of judgment have fled to Jesus for refuge, and they shout for joy at the recollection of these words. I want to underscore the reality of the day of judgment for every person. It is written in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The ministry of Jesus is against the backdrop of that ultimate accountability, the day when, as Romans 14:12, everyone will give an account of himself to God. Even though this day is drawing closer and closer, there is no need for the child of God to fear. Full provision has been made for believers to be ready for that time and even rejoice in its anticipation. In fact, in 1 John 4:17, John wrote these comforting words, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." Those who avail themselves of the provisions that are in Christ can indeed enter into the very day of judgment with boldness or holy and grounded confidence. One of the marvelous provisions that is realized in Jesus has to do with a certain aspect of his character. It is an aspect that is joyfully welcomed by those who have been made aware of it. It is of such significance that it was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. It's found in Isaiah 42, verse 3. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." There is no doubt that this is speaking of the Messiah, the Christ of God. The first verse of Isaiah in that chapter says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Verse 1. Verse 2 established that he will not be a mere rabble-rouser, entering the world to foment political change. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Verse 4 declares the success of the Redeemer. "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." If there is further question about this passage referring to the Lord Jesus, the 12th chapter of Matthew removes any question about it. Matthew quotes this very passage, preceding it with these words, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." Then he includes these words on which I want to particularly focus. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." Matthew 12:17-20. The previous chapter of Matthew provides a little more insight into the expressions "bruised reed" and "smoking flax." There Jesus calls a certain kind of people to come to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Just who are those who labor and are heavy laden? These are people who have become wearied by carrying heavy burdens. They know what God requires of them, but they know they're not equal to the task. They struggle to measure up, but they're not able to meet their own expectations, to say nothing of the desires of the Lord himself. They want to do the will of the Lord, but they find they have the wings of a fluttering sparrow rather than the great wings of a soaring eagle. You may describe them as being poor in spirit. knowing that their own resources have proved wholly insufficient for the task of being pleasing to the Lord. These people do not want to crawl under the door of divine invitation. They desire to enter standing in divine favor, walking through the gates in an abundant entrance. But alas, like the publican of which Jesus spake in Luke 18:13, they cannot lift their head to heaven for the shame of their failures. The best they can do is smite their breast and cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Such are bruised reeds that could be easily broken with a harsh word or an inconsiderate requirement. They are like a smoking flax that emits no light but is only smoldering with the remnants of fire. They could be easily quenched so that they would become hardened, calloused, and no longer interested in pleasing the Lord. An inconsiderate messenger could soon put out what little warmth is in their heart by pointing out their glaring deficiencies and telling them they simply have not tried hard enough. Perhaps, dear listener, you're one of these people, a bruised reed and a smoking flax. You can offer no impressive list of achievements, only a fervent desires that have not been realized. You cannot rise to testify of what you've done for the Lord or how you've been blessed by Him. All you can tell is how you want a blessing, but you're discontent with this present evil world and earnestly want to be like Jesus, even though you confess you're not worthy. You hear others tell of the victories, but somehow you're unable to give a testimony of such things yourself. Life has become a burden to you because of your inward longings, which have been frustrated by weakness and inability. You hesitate to volunteer to serve the Lord because you know you're not worthy. You'd love to walk close to Jesus, but you seem intimidated by Him and feel He might very well condemn you. If this is the case, I have good news for you. Jesus will not place another load upon you. He will not demand more from you than you're able to give. He tells you to come to Him, even though you're weary and heavy laden. Come, bowing. Come in contrition of heart. Come acknowledging your deficiency. It will be no surprise to Him, and He will tell you plainly, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." John 12:47. He is not a reed breaker and a flax quencher. He's a restorer and a repairer of the breach, as prophesied in Isaiah 58:12. I declare to you a Jesus that offers an exchange program. Your weakness for His strength and your burden for His blessing. The prophet Isaiah announced this exchange program in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. This is an aspect of God's great salvation that ignites hope within the hearts of the humble and contrite ones. Listen to the words and take courage. The Savior was sent to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Ashes, mourning, and the spirit of heaviness are but perspectives of a bruised reed and a smoking flax. Ashes speak of hopes that have been dashed to the ground. Mourning speaks of the sorrow that has gripped the heart because of coming short of the glory of God. The spirit of heaviness speaks of the unbearable load of guilt and shame that have resulted from being unequal to the challenge of doing the will of God. Beauty speaks of hopes revived and fulfilled. The oil of joy speaks of the rejoicing that accompanies knowing you've been accepted by the Lord. The garment of praise speaks of the response of an insightful spirit that has experienced divine help and empowerment. Together, beauty, the oil of joy, and the garment of praise speak of a bruised reed that's been healed, and a smoking flax that's now aflame with the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And why is it all so? It's because the Lord Jesus will not break a bruised reed. He will not. And He will not quench a smoking flax. He will not. If there's the slightest pulse of life with you, Jesus will not put it out with a thrust of the sword of judgment. His rod and His staff are not used to pummel tender hearts, but to comfort them as the psalmist confessed, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There is no such thing as a hungry and thirsty soul who comes to Jesus and is rejected. No one has ever left the world to sit at the feet of Jesus and not been taught by Him. No one has ever fled to Him for refuge only to be rejected as unfit and unworthy of His great mercy. He will not break a bruised reed, and He will not quench a smoking flax. I realize this only has an appeal to sensitive hearts, but that's the whole point. Jesus did say, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." He is urging us to take advantage of His nature, which is to tenderly nurse the bruised reed back to health and cause the flame of a smoking flax to burn again as it ought to. He moves such people away from a consideration of their weakness to a contemplation of His strength, from the pondering of their own declining condition to the contemplation of His increasing glory and strength. Let me provide you with an example of the gentleness of Jesus. For He has said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Mary was her name. She was the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. She was a sensitive soul. Once at a special supper they prepared for Lazarus after he'd been raised from the dead, Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. John 12:3. The action of Mary offended some of the people present, but it did not offend Jesus. He said to them, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. John 12:7. He refused to break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax. Earlier, during another time, when Jesus was in her home, Mary sat at His feet and heard His word. Her sister Martha was very busy serving Jesus and His disciples and became irritated with the apparent inconsideration of Mary. She spoke to Jesus, asking Him to demand Mary to help her in serving the people. But Jesus, refusing to break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax, said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Luke 10:41-42. There you have it. She'd come to Jesus weary and heavy laden, and He refused to turn her away. Jesus Himself declared, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Now, dear listener, if life has become a burden to you because you do not feel you're adequately pleasing the Lord, why not come to Jesus as He asks you to do? Why not cast your burden upon the Lord, knowing that He cares for you? Why do you insist on trying to please the Lord in your own strength, when He has opened the door of invitation to you, even affirming that His yoke is easy and His burden is light? That is, His yoke will not chafe and irritate your spirit, and His load can be carried without you fainting. And why is this so? It's because Jesus bears the burden of the load Himself, and it is His yoke that He puts upon you. It's the other side of the yoke that He Himself is bearing. Perhaps you've tried some of the step programs that are being offered by others and have not realized the benefits you sought. Maybe there's some self-help program that's captured your attention, but you must confess you're not the better for it. I counsel you to discard such meager plans and run to Jesus. Procedures and routines will break a bruised reed, but Jesus will not. Secret religious disciplines will quench a smoking flax, but Jesus will not. Turn away from those who offer temporary fixes at the best and absolutely no guarantees of success. Cease and desist from trying this plan and that plan. Turn away from making yourself accountable to your peers and come instead to Jesus. He knows what you really need and is fully able to meet that need through your fellowship with Him. If you feel bruised, hurt, and like a smoldering candle, take heart at these words. A bruised reed shall He not break, and smoking flax shall He not quench, till He send forth judgment unto victory. That, dear listener, is the real Jesus. Don't let another day pass without running eagerly to Him. Run, listener! Run!